We are back with another Ignoramus episode. Episode 2? I don't know. I don't know what episode it is. My name is Jojo. I will be your host of the Ignoramus. And there's one thing that I do know. It is that I know absolutely nothing. Today, I'm here to...
Do you know my name?
Yours?
Yeah.
Your name is Buddy.
Close enough.
No, today I'm joined with the very special guest, Matt.
Hello. I'm Matt.
You are Matt. Otherwise known as Kapuro. You might know him from other shows.
Like this one.
Like this one, particularly.
But this time I do know something.
Yes, you do. Because that's another guy. We don't...
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
That's my evil twin brother, Matt.
Yeah. So, wait a minute. Your parents decided to name the good brother and the evil brother the same name?
I have 12 siblings and we're all named Matt.
Oh, that must have been confusing for your...
No, see, I'm Matt with two T's. He's Matt with one T. One of the Matts has three M's.
Oh.
Easy enough to tell us apart.
Matt.
That's it, yeah.
Today on the show, we're learning about something really cool, I guess. We're going to learn about music.
I think it's cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's what I really want to know. Why? What? So tell me, we're going to jump headfirst into it like a pool that's empty. We're going to jump headfirst into a pool that's empty. Matt.
Sounds dangerous.
Before we go, let's get a little bit of what makes you good to teach me about music.
Well, I have no actual previous training, just life experience. I hope that's good enough for you.
It works. I think for most of our shows, sometimes we get people who just like what we're talking about, as opposed to being, you know, the hardcore A+ experts on it, I guess.
I can't say, I'm lying a little bit. I have been learning music since I was 7 years old. I played saxophone when I was a young child, and then I graduated to piano when I was 17.
You graduated, so you can go to school for saxophone.
I mean, yes, you can, but I didn't actually. I had band class when I was in school. And then at some point I got bored of playing saxophone, so I decided to start playing piano instead. And I taught myself to play piano, and then I started to teach myself how to write. And I have been writing for like 16 years now.
Write just words?
Music. Write music. Okay. And words. I write music and lyrics. But we're talking about music today, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what lyrics are. All I know is you get them at baseball games and you eat them.
That's right. That's how that works.
The best thing, so that's cool. So you enjoy this thing called music.
I do.
Is what I'm saying. Okay. Let's dive in. I have my trusty question pad here.
I believe that's called a phone.
It is a what? What am I holding? since I know absolutely nothing of the world around me, I don't know what this is that I hear voices.
What's
out of.
A phone?
So it's safe to say you have been doing this music for a while.
I have been involved in either playing or writing music for 29 years.
Oh, that's a good amount of time.
Yeah, I'm an old man.
Very old man.
How old are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Jojo? I think I'm probably 7 years old at heart.
Is there another you in there? You said me, Jojo, like there's...
I think there's multiple people inside here.
Okay.
All right, so 29 years of doing the music. So, getting straight into it, what is music?
Music is, okay, I'm going to give you a clinical answer.
Oh, like a doctor.
Yeah, and then hopefully I'm going to give you a little bit more of a relatable answer.
Oh, like a uncle.
Yeah, actually, yeah, pretty much exactly like that.
Okay.
What if it's a doctor uncle?
Hey, then
so it's both sides.
You can kill two birds with... Why would you kill birds?
I don't know. I don't know why anybody does that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't kill birds. Unless they're like trying to eat your children or something.
That's terrifying.
I imagine it happens. Okay, so the clinical answer is music is the combining of various pitches and rhythms to create, in essence, something that's greater than the sum of its parts.
My nose started bleeding.
Yeah, so here's the relatable answer. We are trying to tap into, it's an art form that tries to tap into the beauty of sound.
Oh, the beauty of sound. In that one, you said pitches, like what you see at baseball games?
Those are also pitches, but they're a different kind of pitch. That's where you throw a ball. Pitch in music is, in essence, how high or low a sound is to your ear. So, like, if I went,
Okay.
That's a higher pitch than if I went, low.
That's also called a pitch.
That's also called a pitch. That's right.
Okay. So, this is, you said the beauty of sound. So, sound can be attractive?
Well, yeah, if you think about it. I should go back after having said that and say, you can also write music to tap into how disturbing sound can be or how offsetting sound can be. Music doesn't just have to be pretty. I think originally we kind of started making music because it made our ears sort of happy, if you will. It's the only art form that I can really think of that attempts to stimulate our auditory senses or our ears, you know?
Auditory
just means you can hear it.
Hearing. Okay. Yeah, yes. I know hearing. I do it all the time.
Like, have you ever seen a movie or a TV show?
Yes.
Have you seen a painting before?
I have. Yes. There's one in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's a flower pot. I don't know why it's in the bathroom, but it makes me feel better.
And yeah, it's a nice little visual thing, right? Your eyes get to enjoy that painting.
Mm-hmm.
Sculptures also. Your eyes get to enjoy
sculptures. No, those are scary. Doctors use those to cut people open.
Those are scalpels.
Oh,
but no, the sculptures are what artists make out of marble, and they're sort of like 3D representations.
Oh, yeah,
of
yeah.
things, right?
There's the one of the Greek man. I think his name is David Hasselhoff.
That's right. Yeah. He's Greek. Yeah.
Yes.
Sculptures are another visual.
You see it with
art.
Your eyes,
yeah,
okay.
You can see it, and it's pleasing to the eye, presumably. Music tries to do that same sort of thing, but for your ears. So we're taking, now that you know what pitches are, high and low pitches, and we're putting them together in such a way that is presumably pleasing to your ear, although there are a lot of musicians nowadays that would rather make it maybe offsetting to your ear, just to see what we can do with music. How much stuff can we do with it?
So music can make you happy, but can it make you sad too?
It can tap into all kinds of emotions. Music can make you sad. It can make you reminiscent. It can make you want to get up and dance. There are so many things that music can tap into emotionally for you.
Oh, that makes sense. So that sounds like it's really cool.
It's pretty cool.
How would you even go about doing that then? How do you make pitches and give people sculptures for their ears?
I'm going to start calling it that now. Sculptures for your ears. Mm-hmm. Making a pitch is as simple as creating an object that vibrates. Pitch is same thing as vibration.
Oh, like the Beach Boys song?
Those are good vibrations.
Okay.
And there are pitches in that song. I think they're talking more about like feeling good though in that song.
Oh, you're feeling happy.
Yeah, exactly. But like, so anything, if I pick up any, like, I will see with these.
So we'll say, for all of the people out there listening, with their hearing, Matt just picked up a cup where you drink coffee out of, a coffee cup, and a pen.
So if I tap it with the pen, you can hear a very high pitch.
I hear a right? Doot, doot, like a doot.
So now if I put more stuff in this cup, presumably it's going to change the pitch a little bit. I haven't tested this.
Oh, He put a metal box, some cards and some glasses in there, and now it sounds all funky. And how did you do that?
All I'm doing is basically changing the way that the cup vibrates when I hit it. So I hit it, and it's going to create a small vibration.
Like a shake?
Yeah, it shakes the cup.
Okay.
And that shake creates a pitch. And if I put more stuff in the cup to change the way that it shakes around or vibrates, it's going to change the possibly the pitch of the sound. And it also might change the what we call tone of the sound. I'll get to tone later. We'll talk about pitch
first. Yeah, my gym instructor says I have to tone my abs.
That's a different kind of tone.
That was cool. My mind is officially exploded.
So let me explode it further. I want you to sing a pitch. So all you're going to do is just go, So that is your vocal chords. Chords is a misnomer, by the way. I shouldn't use words like misnomer for you, should I?
Misnomer. I think she was my neighbor growing up.
That was my third grade teacher.
Yeah, misnomer. She was a neighbor and my third grade teacher.
I should use the term vocal folds because they are little folds of skin. That,
like pieces of paper.
Yeah, sort of, but they're flesh. Like okay. Flesh paper. Like if you were writing on flesh with a pen instead of on paper.
So skin inside your throat.
Yeah, so it's these two little bits of skin inside your throat
okay.
that flap together when you activate them, and they create a vibration.
Oh, wait, so they're flapping right now as
yeah.
I'm talking?
As you talk, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so as you just went, oh, you dropped the pitch of your voice.
Oh.
You made the vibration happen slower, which makes the pitch go lower.
Oh.
Slower equals lower.
Slower equals lower. I'll remember that next time I drive a car.
Or
a plane.
Only as it pertains to pitch.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. No, not a plane.
Not in a plane.
Slower equals, which from what I remember from my last podcast, that's true.
Actually, it is true. The slower you go,
the faster you crash.
The faster you're going to crash.
Oh, that's insane. My voice is creating music.
That's right. Even when you talk, you're still creating music in a way because you're varying the pitches of your voice.
Oh, so music is just varying pitches of your voice.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It goes further than that. But that's
even further?
That's the foundation. Oh, my gosh. I could talk to you about music for hours and hours and hours.
Oh, I wish we could, Matt, but unfortunately we don't have all that time.
But I have to go wash my hair.
Yeah, I have to go wash my hair in front of the flower plant picture that's in the bathroom. So, are voices the only things that make music? Because we do
no.
it.
No. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, my voice makes music, but anything else? Can anything else play music or make music?
Just about everything can play music. Have you ever heard of a musical instrument?
Yes, I think so.
Earlier
we played a recorder in school.
A recorder is
which
a musical
I thought
instrument.
Recorded music.
No, it doesn't. Well, there are tape recorders that can record music. But the recorder that you played is like a little flute kind of thing.
Oh, well, it's kind of like a flute.
So that's a musical instrument. A flute is also a musical instrument.
Okay.
Before I mentioned I played saxophone and I played piano, both musical instruments.
Yes.
So there are a lot of tools that have been made specifically to play music. So a piano, like this one, this is an electric piano. It's not an analog.
Okay, so it electrifies. Don't touch it.
No, it's okay. It's not electric. It's not electrified. It uses electricity to play.
Oh, okay.
So if I push these keys.
Oh.
The keys make pitches happen.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that in concerts and opera shows.
It's a pretty common musical instrument. I have some less common ones. I have a harmonica here, which you probably can't hear. I have a harmonica here, which it uses your breath to make pitches. So you blow through it.
Oh.
And it makes a sound. This one kind of makes sort of a tinny sound. You know, it sounds a little like...
Yeah,
like
it sounds different than the piano. That's true.
I have an ocarina.
That's a dance from the 90s.
That's the Macarena.
Oh.
This is an ocarina.
That sounds like the recorder I used to play in elementary school.
It's similar. An ocarina is, in essence, a type of flute.
Oh. Wait, so all of these things are making music.
That's right. Well, all of these things are making pitches, if you will. You need a person to make it turn into music.
Okay, so the piano can't play itself? Uh-huh.
Well, first off, there are actually player pianos that have been programmed to play themselves. Someone programmed in a piece of music.
Creepy.
Into the piano, and it will just play on its own. But
oh, like a recorder.
Like a tape recorder.
Like a tape recorder.
Yeah. I would also say, though, that like this is not music. It's just one note.
Okay.
It's just a pitch. It doesn't do anything. And I don't know that you can consider that music. It's only when you start to put it together with other things that it turns into music. So
what other things?
If I play more pitches, I get what's called a melody. As I play more and more pitches, it starts to turn into what sounds to our ears like a sort of evolving line of music.
Oh.
That's a melody.
Okay.
I can also
play... her in school, too.
I'm sorry?
I knew her in school, too.
Melody is probably a girl that you knew in school. Her name was what came after the melody of a song, probably.
Maybe.
Would be my guess.
Maybe her parents liked music.
Perhaps, yeah. But that doesn't necessarily mean she was a song.
Oh, that's true. And also, now I'm really confused.
You'll have to do an ignoramus on poetry to figure out how melody was a song.
I do. Poetry is bad, especially when they do it to animals in Africa.
No, that's poaching.
Oh.
But close. Good try.
So you played the different little white bars on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And it made something that sounded very different. So that would be considered music.
That's music. And a melody can be considered music. You can also play more than one note at a time, which gives you what's called a harmony. So if I do... I have this note and this note.
Uh-huh.
Together, they create something that's a little bit more than, you know, than just a single note playing at a time.
Yeah. It sounds like... It reminds me of having one Cheerio in your mouth or a Cheerio and a Kix. So it's like... Harsh. It's a nice little crunch together.
All right, I could see it. I could see it. It's like chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite candies, the Reese's peanut butter cup.
You want to add some like nougat to it?
Nougat?
Yeah, like from a candy bar. You know, you have chocolate and peanut butter. Okay. You want to add like the butterfingery stuff?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Whoa.
I can add more notes.
Oh,
let's add some marshmallow.
So music is like candy bar just vibrating in the air.
Yeah.
Oh,
we'll
cool.
We'll go with
I'm getting these today. I'm learning fast today. So when do you play music? You had said movies. When do you play music?
Let's start with movies. Almost every movie you've ever seen has what's called a soundtrack, and that's or a score, and that's the music that plays behind what you're seeing in the movie. So you have people who are doing stuff, and sometimes they're saying things to each other. And let's say you're watching like an action movie, right? A movie where there's a bunch of people like fighting each other and flying across the sky and all that kind of stuff.
Like the Avengers.
Imagine if that movie were just silent. But like not, I shouldn't say silent. Imagine that you can like, there's a person flying and you can hear them flying, and or maybe there's a fight going on and you can hear the punches landing, but there's nothing, no music behind it.
Oh,
so
that's all you're hard to imagine.
Just like, psh, 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 ow. Psh, psh. How do you feel? Do you think that would give you all the like sort of adrenaline rush?
Oh, that's true. If I saw the Avengers and there was no music, maybe I wouldn't be as excited and jumping up and down in my seat to that they beat the bad guy.
Yeah, but with the music back there, you get this like bum bum ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, bum 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 bum. You get some big driving soundtrack behind it, and all of a sudden you're going like, yeah, get in that fight, beat him, beat the bad guy.
Yeah, you're right. I do feel more excited when the music comes on. That's something I never thought about before. So movies, that's the only time you hear music.
Oh, gosh, no. There's so many times. You hear music on the radio, if you turn on the radio.
Oh, yeah. I hear it when I drive in the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, if your parents are driving you to school, or mm-hmm. maybe you drive yourself. I don't know.
Sometimes.
I don't know how old you actually are.
No one does.
Is that? I'm scared now. Oh, gosh. So what you hear on the radio, those are called songs, as opposed to being a soundtrack or a score for a film. Those are actually written just to be music and lyrics. Someone wasn't trying to match that to an image you were seeing, you know, trying to make you feel something more about that image. This is just for the sake of your listening pleasure. The song, yeah. So sometimes...
So is a song a type of music?
A song is music. Let's put it this way. All songs are music. Not all music are songs.
We'll be right back to your regularly scheduled program as JoJo processes the nature of this statement.
I would classify, there are going to be a lot of people who are like, yeah, all music are songs. I would classify that as, there's a difference between, say, a score or a song.
Like a goal.
That's a score. That's like scoring in sports. No, like a film score.
Oh, okay. The music you hear in movies.
Yeah. I wouldn't consider a film score to be a song. I think it serves a different purpose than a song. A song is a sort of a contained unit. That's not going to make sense to you, is it?
Unit.
A song is something that has a clear beginning and end. It usually has one theme throughout. And generally, most songs last for about 3 minutes. There are songs that go much longer than that, of course, and there are some songs that are really short. But most songs last for about 3 minutes.
That sounds to me like a story.
It is. It is sort of like a story. It's a story set to music. Sometimes it's just an emotional exploration set to music.
Okay. So I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You know,
that's not my intention. But you said a word earlier is lyrics.
Yes.
What are those?
So lyrics are the words that you put over the music in a song.
Oh, okay.
So the music is sort of, well, actually, it kind of depends on how you write songs. If you're a songwriter, some songwriters focus more on the music and less on the words, and some focus more on the words and less on the music.
So you can change.
You can change, yeah, absolutely. Some songwriters actually work as teams because one of them will write the lyrics and one of them will write the music. Two different people will write the two different aspects and put them together. Lyrics, to put it simply, are basically poetry over music.
Poetry. I think so. It's not killing animals in the savannah
poaching.
Desert.
They don't poach to music.
Okay.
They write. You might see that in a movie somewhere, someone poaching while music is playing.
That makes me sad.
But poetry, I'm not going to teach a whole lot about poetry because that's not really what this... We're doing music today, right?
No, but you told me that these words go over the music, right?
Right.
And that those words are like poetry. So I guess in essence, it relates to music.
Yeah. So poetry is... it's words that are written down, sometimes with rhyme, sometimes not. But usually it's not written in a way that one would normally speak. It's written more in a way that uses images and words dealing with feelings in order to get its point across.
Well, kind of like a story.
Kind of like a story. But a story is a little bit more, here's the beginning, the middle, and the end. Right, there's
like a song.
Not all songs do that. There are some songs that are very much stories. There are some songs that tell a beginning, middle, and end. And there are other songs that work more like poetry, where it's more, I'm trying to examine, I feel sad today. And so I'm writing a song that examines why I feel sad today.
Oh, I see.
And there isn't necessarily a start to that or an end to that. It's just I wanted to look inside myself and figure out why I feel sad.
Oh, so it's almost like your sadness doesn't start at the shallow end of the pool or the deep end. Sometimes it's right in the middle where it's like 5 feet.
Right.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And you stay there and you just sort of deal with your sadness. You're not going anywhere. You're not trying to meet a goal.
You just want to be at the 5 foot end of the pool.
That's right.
Oh, interesting.
And you want to explore the 5 foot end of the pool. You want to explore that spot that you're in as deeply as possible.
Oh, but only 5 feet deep.
Right. So, I mean, that's as deeply as possible. 5 feet is the limit to how deep you can go.
Oh, I see.
Your sadness is only 5 feet deep.
Maybe that can be the lyrics in the song you write.
I will write a song called Your Sadness is Only 5 Feet Deep. Done. I'll do it for you.
Thanks, buddy. You're my buddy. I guess in a way you answered this. Why music? I'm curious. Why did people start making music?
So this is I'm not a music historian. So I'm going to go off of my best guess here because I haven't actually done research into this. As far as I know, music began mostly with percussion and with chanting early on, like 10,000 years ago, maybe more.
Percussion is something the football players get because they hit their heads.
That's a concussion.
Oh.
A concussion can be a result of the percussion of two heads.
So they make music.
In a way they do.
Okay.
In a very devastating and possibly deadly way. Two heads clashing.
Oh, no, that's dangerous.
Yeah. So we don't want to make music that way, but football players sometimes do.
Okay.
Have you ever heard a drum? You ever heard
yes.
a drum? And it just goes like.
Yeah. It's a little deeper than your leg.
Yeah. Yeah. My leg is not a drum.
No, your leg is a leg.
That's very observant. Good.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yay.
You're learning things about human anatomy, too.
Mm-hmm. It's music.
Now, human anatomy is not music. That does not fall in the music category, except for those vocal folds. Those are music.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. My heartbeat, when I hear it through the kaleidoscope, goes poof, 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 poof.
That's fair.
Poof, poof. Is and that music?
Sort of. I'm going to say sort of because that has been the inspiration for many people in terms of writing music. A lot of people have used a heartbeat as the sort of like as the drum beat to their song. You actually can get people dancing by writing music at a speed that matches their heartbeat.
Oh.
So if you write a song that is slightly faster than someone's resting heartbeat,
uh-huh.
it will make them have a desire to get up and move.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So back to your the answer to my question, you said it all started with concussions.
It started with percussion.
Percussions.
Which is
correct.
Drums.
Yeah, the drum. Yes, it started with drums.
So early on, early humans would get instruments, I shouldn't even say instruments, objects that they could hit that would create sort of drum-like sounds.
Like you did the cup.
Like I did with the cup, right.
Okay.
Although this has pitch. The cup had pitch when I hit it. Drums would be something, like if you hit something wooden, you don't really hear a high or low. It's just sort of a dull thud.
It doesn't sound different.
That's more of a percussion thing.
Okay.
So percussion are instruments that don't have pitch, but they instead give us rhythm. And I can talk about rhythm in a second, too.
Oh,
you want me to talk about it now?
Yeah, because I don't know what rhythm is.
Okay, so rhythm is the second part of music. You have pitch,
mm-hmm.
and at the very beginning I said combining pitch and rhythm to create something that is greater than the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
So pitch is
yes,
the,
I remember when you said
low.
That. It was before my nose started bleeding.
That's right, yeah. I'm surprised you remember because I thought that maybe you had an aneurysm and lost all memory.
No, it's just because my brain hurt at that point.
Rhythm is the second part of that. So rhythm is, in essence, how long or short a particular pitch or beat is. So if I were to do there are longer pitches and there are shorter pitches, right?
Okay, yeah, that was true.
So that long and short, the combination of long and short pitches or beats creates a rhythm. So if I go there's a rhythm that starts to form. I haven't changed pitch at all.
Oh yeah, that sounds like a song I hear on the radio.
It feels like a song, and yet I haven't changed pitch, right? And there's the same pitch the whole way through. So I don't necessarily need to have changing pitches to create a song. Sometimes if I just have an interesting enough rhythm, I'll get a song out of that too.
Oh, okay. Rhythm and pitches
with a P.
Yes, with a P.
Yeah, with not with peeing though.
No, I mean, I'm sure urine can make music.
People have probably done it. You're right. So back to our early humans.
So they started there.
They didn't have instruments. They didn't have instruments that could create pitch. So they made rhythms with these instruments that they found, and it was usually things like hollowed out logs and stuff like that. So you could hit them, and would create just like this. They would create this sort of hollow thud.
Okay.
And then they would sing on top of that to create pitch.
Going,
Right. And usually in the form of chanting. And again, this is as best I know. This might not be
chanting,
how it went down.
Like what? Just when people who don't know where to stop talking or anything like that, they just chant away.
That's ranting. But chanting is like that with singing. When people don't know the words or don't have any words and they just want to sing anyway, and they're just singing just whatever comes out without having actual words in place, that's chanting.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes you can chant on words too if you say the same words over and over again.
Oh, cool. That's a different form of music.
Yeah. So they would combine the rhythm of their instruments with the pitch of their chanting.
With their voices.
And that would create music. And it was done as a way of sort of bringing community together, to have people, in essence, have something to sort of celebrate. You could celebrate by singing and playing rhythms. It was a way for us to communicate with each other, even if we didn't know each other's languages.
Oh, so you can talk to people through music.
And it's something that we still do to this day. We use music as a way to communicate, even if we don't share the same language. So I can make you feel something by writing a song, and you might not know if there are lyrics, you might not know what the lyrics mean, and yet you might still feel happy or sad or energized by that song.
Oh, okay. So does that mean anybody can make music?
Ultimately, yeah, anybody can make music.
Who makes music? Do I go to a shop and say, "Hey, I want music," and then somebody gives it to me, like when I go get bread or burgers?
Yes and no. I'm gonna say
my nose is bleeding again.
How can it be both? It's yes and no.
Isn't that just bleh?
Yo. Oh. That's what yo means.
It yo means yes and no.
That's not what it means. Nowadays, you actually can go to a shop in a way. You can go to places where people specifically write music for hire. You can hire them to write music for you.
Pay them?
You pay them, and they will create a song for you. I wouldn't say that's how most music gets written, but it is possible to do that. There are sort of like places that are that write jingles for commercials, you know, like those little fun songs you hear when a commercial plays.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There are companies who write those
like Subway, Eat
songs.
Fresh.
Yeah. So there are companies who write those things. There are also just individual people who write those things. And I would say that is generally how the sort of music for hire works. Usually you go to a person, an individual person, and ask them to write music for you and hopefully pay them. You should pay them if you're asking them to write music for you. But some people just do it for fun. Some people don't want any money out of it. It's just a thing that allows them to express themselves and to feel. And like we were talking about before, that idea of like, I feel sad today, I want to figure out why. Sometimes music can be made just to try to figure yourself out. You know, if you're in a hard place and you don't quite know what you're feeling or why you're feeling it, maybe you write music and it helps you to figure that out.
Oh, what are you called if you make music?
You are called a musician or a composer or a songwriter. There are a lot of different names and they sort of mean different things for different people.
Oh.
So like a composer is probably somebody who writes specifically music, not lyrics.
Oh, composers don't write lyrics.
Usually not. Someone might be a composer lyricist, which means they do both. But most, the composer side of it is specifically, I write the music part.
Oh, okay.
Most of the times people get the term composer because they write music that's a little more on the complicated side. So somebody who writes really simple songs is going to be called the songwriter.
Okay.
As opposed to somebody who writes more complicated work that takes more, I don't quite know how to put this, if you're performing it, it probably takes a little more analysis. You have to think about it more as you're playing it, as opposed to a simple song, which, you know, might just be like three little movements on the instrument and that's it.
Oh, so if I wanted to look at a complicated piece of music, what would I find?
There's a composer named Rachmaninoff.
Oh,
who?
Rachmaninoff. He sounds like a member of Queen.
You know, if he were alive when Queen was famous, he probably would have been, quite frankly.
Cool. Him and Freddie being the best buds ever.
He was a classical composer and is largely thought of as writing some of the most complicated and hard to play music that's ever existed.
I'll play him on the instruments.
Yeah. He wrote for mostly piano. And the music he wrote for piano, you have to be one of the best piano players in the world to play it effectively.
Oh, I wonder why he would make such hard to play music.
I don't know his history, but I assume he himself was probably a very strong piano player. And so he was playing music. He was writing music that he could play to show off. And then other people then, as a way of showing off their ability, would play his music as well.
Oh, what's a simple song of music? What's a simple song you could play?
Have you ever heard of a nursery rhyme or a children's?
Nursery, like where babies go?
Yes. There's sort of a category of music called nursery rhymes, which are intended to be songs that you would sing to your child to help them to fall asleep at night.
Oh, okay.
So something like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that song.
That's a very simple song. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. It's got very easy pitch movements.
Uh-huh.
So it's easy enough to play, and there's not a lot of complicated notes. There aren't a lot of notes to complicate the song.
Oh, okay. So how many forms of music are there?
So many that we could probably spend hours just listing them all off.
Oh, there's that many.
Yeah. You have these large categories like classical music and jazz music and pop music. And these are categories. So classical music is what we usually term any music that came from like the early 1900s or before. And it's music that's really mostly intended to be performed. And it is oftentimes that more complicated music that I was talking about. It's not quite so, it's not simple, and it's also not the easiest stuff to listen to. You have to have a solid appreciation of music and what the composer was doing in order to really get classical music.
Oh, okay.
Nowadays we have pop music, which is sort of the other end of the spectrum. It is written specifically to sort of make the general public feel good. You don't have to understand music too well to be able to feel good and enjoy listening to pop music. So it tends to be more simplified music, and it's designed specifically to cater to the most amount of people possible.
Oh, like how you said the heartbeat and the dance.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of dance music or club music is would fall under the category of pop.
Oh, okay.
Jazz music is modern music that is intended to sort of push the boundaries of what music can do. So, for instance, I'm going to move my microphone over here. Hopefully you can hear this. So, before I was playing a few harmonies, right?
Oh, he's going to play the piano again.
So, this is a very simple harmony. It's just two notes.
Uh-huh.
As I add more notes onto it, the harmony becomes more and more complicated. So, here's three notes. And those three notes make up most of what we consider to be pop music. You can play those. You can play three notes at a time.
Okay.
You start to hear some familiar sounds that you would hear in a lot of pop songs.
Okay.
As you add more notes to that, you get more complicated what are called chords. So as you put notes together, that's called a chord.
Oh, that's what that's called?
Yeah. So this is technically...
That's what the peanut butter and chocolate are called? A chord?
That's right. So peanut butter, chocolate, as I add marshmallow, I get more to the chord.
Yeah, you added a marshmallow, you added a chicken nugget.
Caramel. I can... And so the cool thing about chords
that's
is...
That's a stripper.
I added destiny to the chord.
I know my fate.
I can keep adding more ingredients to the chord.
Oh,
and it
okay.
makes the chord more complicated. Sometimes it makes it even prettier. Sometimes it just makes it more complicated. So, for instance, if I add another note to the top of it, we get that one that I played before.
Uh-huh.
Or I could do this.
Oh.
Or I could do, say, this. And these are all different chords, and they're all using just four notes. So I can get a lot of different sounds out of four notes.
Oh.
There's a lot of different places I can go.
How many sounds are there?
There are... First off, I should say there are as many pitches as you or your instrument can feasibly hit. So there are limits to how far an instrument can go, how high or low it can go.
Yeah, it looks like your piano has maybe 30, 50 white things and 15 black things?
It's a slightly different ratio, and there are 88 keys all told, or 88 different notes that I can play, or
okay.
pitches that I can play on this piano. So that sort of limits how far I can go with a piano. That being said, there are 12 possible pitches before they start to repeat. So I can do... And by the time I get to that one,
uh-huh.
it's the same note as down here, but just higher.
Oh.
Right? They sound the same. They kind of blend into one another if I play them together.
One kind of sounds like the big brother. The other one sounds like a little sister.
That's the right idea, yeah. You get that effect by making the vibration. Remember I was saying a vibration equals a pitch?
Uh-huh.
If you make the vibration twice as fast, your pitch will go up exactly one whole...
Oh.
A one whole... What's yeah. called an octave.
Yeah, octave.
Yeah.
The bad guy from Spider-Man.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
He was a musical bad guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can start to make these things really, really complicated. Depending on how many notes I add to it. So if I wanna add two more notes onto what we had previously.
Oh.
There are any number of different chord combinations that I can make.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sort of what jazz sets out to explore. How interesting and complex can we make these combinations and still make them work somehow, where the ear can still translate them into something that it understands? Because there's this too.
Oh.
That's not really music.
That's not music.
That's just a bunch of noise. Your ear can't turn it into anything. It can't understand it.
Oh, so, yeah. I noticed. I did feel something very different when you did that to the piano versus when you played a different kind of chord. Yeah, that makes me feel nice.
Even the ones that don't make you feel so nice, you still kind of understand them, you know?
It sounds nice. Yeah. If I wanted to learn how to play music, where would I go?
There are a lot of different private teaching studios. So you can go into, you can basically find a private teacher who specializes in whatever you want to learn. And they will teach you how to play it.
So if I wanted to learn the complicated stuff, they can teach me the complicated stuff.
They can. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of practice.
How about the simple stuff?
The simple stuff you can probably learn in a couple of months.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it, I mean, I say months, like that's not a lot of time. It is still a decent amount of time to put in. But the simple stuff you can pick up pretty quickly. To get more and more complicated, it can take years, decades sometimes, to get to the level where you can play really complicated stuff effectively.
Is there a piece of music that's just the best piece of music ever?
I have my favorite. Do you want to hear my favorite, or do you want
both?
I'm not sure what would be considered the best piece of music.
What would be like the Superman of music?
That is such a complicated question.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rock martyred off you with the question.
I would say it's a complicated question because I think it really depends on your genre. Can I jump back really quick to where can you learn how to play music?
Sure.
Because I just want to say there are also a lot of various, oftentimes there are band classes available at high schools and at middle schools. You can get involved in your band class when you're in school. There are a lot of college programs that you can apply for that are specifically intended to teach music.
Can you play with other people?
Yeah, absolutely. That is band class is specifically that. It is you playing in a group with other people playing other instruments.
Oh, cool.
So there are a lot of different ways that you can go. You can also, if you have enough ear and enough patience and dedication, you can teach yourself how to play music.
Oh, I can teach me how to play music?
Yeah. You have to sort of be able to. It's almost like engineering in a way. Engineers can just sort of they make things. You know, they can take robotics and they can put them together and make things. They can make robots and they can make ships and all that kind of stuff because they have the ability to sort of understand how things fit together.
Okay.
And as a musician, you can do that same sort of thing without ever having taken a class. Just by sitting down in front of an instrument and trying stuff and realizing that the thing that you did does or doesn't work right. And then you continue to do the things that do work right and stop doing the things that don't work.
So a musician makes a piece of music like an engineer makes a car?
In a way, yeah. It's similar. I mean, it's not the same exact process, but I think the mental process is about the same.
Oh, little pieces to make a big piece of something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I understand that. That makes sense. So back to Superman.
So the reason why this is a complicated question is I think it depends on the genre that you're looking at. Genre is, again, those categories of music.
Genre.
So a lot of people say that in the pop genre, Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys is one of the best songs ever written. Some people would say Bohemian Rhapsody is one of the best songs ever written. And by Queen, yeah. There are so many classical pieces that are considered some of the best work ever. Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
I don't know which one that one is.
You might know it as the
I heard that in a movie once.
I believe the Hallelujah Chorus, I think is what that's called. So that is considered to be one of the greatest pieces of music ever written. But again, it sort of depends on what category of music are we looking at.
Oh, so there's different kinds. There's not one Superman.
Right. There are different superheroes. Let's put it that way. There probably is a Superman out there, but there's also a Batman, and there's a Supergirl, and there's a Super Twins, and there's Super Twins is probably not a great song. there's, you know, a Green Lantern, and so on and so forth. It just kind of depends on your category of music.
Yeah.
Mine, personally, I particularly love The Pines of Rome by Ottorino Respighi.
That's a food.
It might be. It actually, he might be named after a food, or there might be food named after him.
I've never heard that song before.
It's a classical song, and Respighi was an Italian classical composer.
I thought it sounded like an Italian food.
Yep, it is.
I had that at Olive Garden with a side of breadsticks. Respighi.
Are you having a stroke? Do I need to take you to the hospital?
I don't know what that is if I have one.
Fair enough. That's a good point. We'll talk about strokes in another episode.
Okay.
Not those kind of strokes.
Aren't they a musician band?
The Strokes? Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
I've never listened to them.
I'm learning. So, Pitter-Patter Rasputin.
Ottorino Respighi.
Okay.
He wrote The Pines of Rome.
Okay.
And I like the last 3 minutes of it are the most heart-opening music I've ever heard.
Oh.
I don't mean that literally. I don't mean that they split your heart open.
Oh, okay. I was going to get scared for a little bit.
Emotionally, figuratively, they just make your heart do things.
Oh, besides...
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. It's cool.
But I also have a lot of other favorites in a lot of other genres. So I would say that's probably my, like, the music that I go to for the most inspiration is that piece. But there's so many composers and songwriters and various pieces of music.
I read that somebody said, and they had the little squiggly lines around the set of words, said that music is a universal language.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean and why? I thought Universal was the company that made Jurassic Park.
Universal is a word that means applying to all things.
Okay.
So
Jurassic Park applies to all things.
So maybe the studio?
Maybe.
The studio,
they did
being,
make Star
being
Wars.
Universal, they will make, you know, they'll make any kind of movie, maybe, is what they mean by that.
Oh, maybe. That's a good point.
I think that's maybe where that comes from.
Okay.
But music as a universal language kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, where even if you and I don't speak the same language, I can play a piece of music for you and you'll understand what I mean. You'll understand the mood. You'll understand the meaning behind that music.
Why does that happen?
Well, no one quite knows. That's the beautiful, that's the magical thing about music. That's what makes it so darn interesting, is that sometimes you can play a piece of music for someone and it'll make them start crying.
Oh, that's true.
Why does it make them start crying? Even if there aren't any lyrics, there's nothing, there's no story for them to connect to. They'll just hear the piece of music and start crying. Why do they do it? We're not really sure. We don't know what that taps into, why music can affect us so emotionally. And I think that's the coolest thing about music. And it's one of the reasons I love writing it, because sometimes I will play something, I'll be writing something, and I will just be struck with how emotional it is. And I'm sitting there going, I don't even know why. I don't know why it's so emotional, but it just is.
Well, it doesn't have to just make you cry, right?
Definitely not. Music can make you laugh. Again, it can make you dance. It can make you angry if somebody writes a sort of unsettling enough song. It can make you feel any multitude of emotions. And I think that's where that idea of it being a universal language comes in, is because it's an emotional thing. It speaks to everybody's emotions. And so you don't need to speak words to get that feeling out of somebody.
Oh.
Also, there's this too, although this isn't really true. Everybody plays the same kind of music. In other words, the same rules always apply. I know we haven't, you probably haven't learned about physics.
No.
But there are rules like what goes up must come down, gravity, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? We're held down to the earth. The rules of gravity are the same across the board. They don't change.
Okay.
Except in really rare circumstances.
Nosebleed.
Yeah. Music is kind of the same way. The rules of music are the rules of music, and they don't change. They apply to everybody, except in certain circumstances. So this is where I say it's not quite true. There are actually people who there are cultures that approach music from a different way than most Western cultures would.
Ooh. What does Western and other cultures have to do with it?
Western cultures is a term that refers to Europe and countries that have developed from European nations.
Oh, okay.
It is not the best term that's ever been.
Oh, okay. But people from different countries, like you said, play different music?
Some of them approach music from a different standpoint.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, without going, I don't want to go too much into music theory, but in the U.S.,
I'm not even sure what a theory is.
the building blocks of music, the way we understand music.
Yes.
In the U.S., we believe that the musical system exists on what we call half steps. So the space between notes.
Uh-huh. That is a half step.
That's a half step.
Okay.
This is a whole step. So if I put two half steps together, right?
Uh-huh.
Then I get a whole step. We believe that that's the smallest amount of space that there are between notes.
Huh.
And it's not. There's more space between those. If I did... if I sing them, it seems like there's not a lot of space in there, but there are a lot of little notes in there between the two original notes that I sang.
Oh.
The fact that I can slide from one of those notes to the other and have all this space between shows that there are smaller spaces between notes than just half steps.
I never thought about that.
There are...
I don't think about much of anything, honestly.
You should think about things.
I do. I like learning.
I appreciate you not knowing things, but you should think about them.
I'm going to think... I thought about flying last time.
That's
and
true.
Now I'm thinking about music.
That's true. That's good. You're expanding your horizons.
Mm-hmm.
So there are Middle Eastern cultures that... write using quarter steps.
Oh.
So, like, there'd be a whole nother note in between those two notes.
Oh.
And so what we think of as, I talked about, you know, it takes 12 notes to get to the next octave, right? There's 12 notes in there.
Uh-huh.
They would have... what, twice as many, I guess. I haven't done the math on that. But presumably they would have 24 notes
okay.
to get to the next octave because there are quarter steps. There's another step in between each of those notes.
Oh. Also, it's different depending on how you think about the theories.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I think there are those who would say that that's still, it's the same theory. It is the same theory. It's just that we in the U.S. have sort of closed our minds to this is as small as it goes. And there are other cultures in the world that have taken the theory further and said, I think we can go smaller. There are smaller steps in between those notes. It doesn't prove the theory's wrong. They still apply. It's just that one culture has gone a little further than another.
Yeah. So last fun question before we have to wrap up my session today with
because
music.
It's really hot in this room.
I also read a quote in the Little Squigglies that said, music can change the world. How does it do that?
Oh, I don't know if I agree with that sentiment.
Oh, why not?
I think there was a time when music brought people together more than it does nowadays. This is just me being cynical now.
Cynical? Like the things on the cereal with the toast and the crunch?
Exactly like that, yeah.
Okay.
Cynical toast crunch.
Okay.
Oh man. I think there was a time in human history when music could be used as a way to make people, like we've been talking about, people feel things, right? And if we can get everyone in a room together and they all feel the same thing, then they have something in common and we can come together and agree on this feeling at least. And then maybe if we agree on that, we can agree on more stuff.
Oh.
I think nowadays there might be a little too much anger in the world for music to do that effectively. I would love to be proven wrong on that. I would love to see music bring the world together and really make a difference and change the world. I don't know that it has the power to do that.
Oh,
right now.
Well, who knows? Maybe all the pitches happening that are making people angry, they'll change the pitch and it'll make them happy.
That it could work. Just take a sad chord and make it happier.
Yeah, that's better. But hey, thanks a lot, Matt, for coming in here and teaching me about music.
Of course. It's really weird to hear you call me Matt, by the way.
Very. I'm not used to it, which is strange. But that was our show, everybody. Thank you so much to our guests.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, you come back anytime and teach us anything you want to teach or anything like that. It'd be fun.
Do I have to actually know anything about the thing I want to teach you? Like if I was like, I want to teach you about making balloon animals and I don't actually know anything about it?
Well, I wouldn't know either way because I have no idea. So you could be teaching me wrong, but I wouldn't know it.
I could just come on here and teach you completely fictional things.
Yeah.
I love it.
That was the first 12 years of my education. So thank you so much for tuning in, folks, and I hope you had a fun time. And I gotta say, as an ignoramus, I knew nothing, but now I know one more thing than I knew before. Thanks so much. Bye!